This is FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. We want to let you know that this part of the show, the first part, is brought to you by At Home Care. And they're located at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And what they do is, if you're having trouble staying at home and can no longer take care of your responsibilities there, they come in 24/7, make sure that everything is taken care of there for you. All the inside duties, they run errands for you. They just make your life a whole lot more pleasant. If that sounds good to you, give them a call at 713-4639 or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecare.com. Well, ladies, we have Miss Pat Limbaugh on today, and Kelly Harries, H-A-R-R-I-E-S, and you guys both work for NHC. But we're going to be talking about a special program that I probably would say that most people have never even heard of, and it's called Five Wishes. And what you do is that you take care of people's particular problems when they're looking at traumatic type situations as they get older. It doesn't have to be older people. It could be younger people. And what exactly are we looking at today, Pat?
Okay, are we talking about what we provide as far as NHC right. home care or
right.
the Five Wishes?
No, the Five Wishes.
Okay. Five Wishes is basically a program that was published by Aging with Dignity. Mm-hmm. And Aging with Dignity's co-founder, the inspiration for the program was because he had spent some time in Calcutta with Mother Teresa, and was just very impressed with, in those very humble surroundings, how the patients were being treated with love and compassion. And so he got a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to establish Aging with Dignity. And he introduced the program in Florida, and it was immediately very popular, number one, because it filled a need, and people, they're able to let someone know what their last wishes are going to be, those decisions that need to be made in your living room rather than in a hospital room.
Do you think people just kind of overlook that, or maybe they're just don't want to even think about it? Because I know something like that, I never have it come up in my mind, even though I'm getting older, and it's something that I know that I should address, but it's not a pleasant issue for most people. But once you get to a point, you're going to have to need some help. You're going to have to need health care. And the Five Wishes program seems like it's a program that's going to take care of a lot of those things that probably you don't want to address, but you need some help getting started on it. And I am glad that you guys have got something like that, because I know that I have gone through some of the things that I have read about that you've got in your program. And in fact, myself, I could go through that program right now, and I know that I could utilize it, and another, a lot of the other people I know that are listening out there right now could benefit from your program. And tell me some of the things that you address in the Five Wishes program.
Okay, well, I guess the main reason that it's called Five Wishes is because there are exactly five different areas that are addressed. Mm-hmm. And if you want to, we can go through each one of those and just let the...
Yeah, let's hit on some of them, because I think it's very interesting.
Okay. For example, wish number one, it stipulates the person that you want to make those health care decisions for you mm-hmm. when you can't make them yourself. Mm-hmm. Basically it says, if I'm no longer able to make my own health care decisions, this form names the person I choose to make those choices for me. This person will be my health care agent or representative, proxy, surrogate, whatever. Mm-hmm. The person will make your health care choices if both of these things happen. So each one of these examples have to happen. You have to have your attending or treating doctor say that you're no longer able to make your health care decisions. And then that has to be confirmed by another healthcare professional. So you can't just have one physician saying that you're unable to make those decisions.
Now, does the person that is going through this program, are they talking to an individual who instructs them, and do they have conversations back and forth about some of the personal things that this individual wants done?
It's very important that the person that you choose to be your healthcare agent, that you sit down and go through this with them. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a husband and wife, then naturally you're going to talk about it. You each have to sign your own, though a husband and wife cannot jointly sign one. Mm-hmm. But you need to make sure that your physician knows that you've signed mm-hmm. a five wishes, that your children know that you've signed it, where you keep it, and that kind of thing.
Now, I presume this is a certified document that you're going to have that will have legal ramifications as far as to the health care of that individual.
That's correct. It has to be notarized. So mm-hmm. once you fill it out, you're going to sign it, and then you're going to have it witnessed by two people, and then the form also has to be notarized.
Okay. Now, when the person gets these forms, and it's in pretty good detail as far as how to fill it out, but some of it could be confusing to the individual that's looking at this. Where do they get the help to make sure that they're doing what they should be doing as far as the health care that they particularly want?
Okay. Well, if they don't have family members or, you know, a church friend or somebody else that could sit down and review it with mm-hmm. them, they're welcome to call NHC mm-hmm. Home Care, and we can make a visit and go over and mm-hmm. go through the form with them.
Yeah, I was looking at it, and I could see that most of the problems that you're going to have when you start having your health start to wane a little bit. But do you feel like that almost every need of each individual is probably covered in this particular document?
I believe that it is, because it speaks to conditions like if you're in a coma, if you can't feed yourself, it pretty much goes through everything. Plus, it leaves some extra space where you can actually request other things that aren't specifically covered in the document.
Do you have seminars and things like that where you go to different places and you talk to the people and explain to them exactly how this would benefit each and every one of them?
Yes. In fact, we're having a seminar on Monday, because mm-hmm. Monday is April the 16th, and every year that is designated as National Healthcare Decisions Day. Mm-hmm. So we'll be hosting a free seminar at the St. Clair Senior Center at 10 a.m. on Monday morning, and we'll have copies of the document. So anybody that would like to attend that seminar, if you're unable to attend and you want one of the documents, you can call me, and I'll be happy to put that in the mail.
Now, one of the things that I remember dealing with some of these issues is, a lot of times, once you become ill and you have reached a certain age, a lot of these issues are extremely complicated to the person who has reached that stage. Do you feel like that once they have prepared this document, that it's going to take care of a lot of the questions that you feel like that they might have? That's good for you, Kathy.
Yes, I feel that will take care of a lot of their questions. It also, it brings a peace to the patient or mm-hmm. to the person, because they know that their family knows where this is. They have mm-hmm. filled it out, and it kind of is as a relief that they know things will be taken care of the way they want them taken care of.
Well, you know, a lot of times, and we were discussing this before we went on the air, that people will become confused at the coverages that they have. And I have run into that a little bit. And do you think that this helps address some of the areas of their particular concern? Because when you start mapping out your future, especially when you get to the point that you're probably not going to be able to take care of yourself, or you start, maybe even gets even worse, it's almost impossible to make a clear decision at that time.
Right. And sometimes you have children that have different opinions, different advice for you, and you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but you still know what you want yourself. So while you're still of sound mind, you want to make that decision. You want to sit down with your family members, fill this out together, mm-hmm. you know, talk about what you want. Mm-hmm. And it kind of puts the individual at a peace that they know that their family, even though they might have a different decision, that it's not one person in the family making that decision after you're not able to make your own decision, mm-hmm. because it's in writing, it's been discussed, and it's something that everybody is on board with.
Now, this would supersede, I presume, any other documents that were laid out as far as a living will is concerned. Because, you know, I can think of it right now is there's a lot of times that you're probably going to change some of the wording once you get into that point. Now, how do you take care of a situation like that?
As long as you address it with your doctor, and have it notarized and go over it with your family, then it becomes a legal document, and it's...
You don't have to have an attorney or anything like that.
No. And also, if you have a living will and you decide that you want to do the five wishes, then the living will that you have, you need to write revoked across that.
Now, who writes revoked?
The individual.
The individual mm-hmm. that it's referring to.
Right. Say, for example, you already have a living will, but then you complete this five wishes, and you want this to stand as your living will, mm-hmm. then you would write revoked across your old living will.
Now, they always, in as far as I can remember, they when you go to a hospital and they ask you if you have a living will, would you just say that I have five senses, I have signed on with that? But if I remember right, I think they always want you to provide a document to verify that you have a living will. So what you're saying is this would suffice for that particular problem.
Yes.
Now, you have so many issues in here. Let's address some of them as far as you would cover. And I presume that only the ones that you fill out and sign on to are the ones that are going to be pertinent. Is that right?
Correct.
Because there are so many things that are covered in here. Why don't we go over some of them? And the close to death part, where that's one of the hard parts or one of the hard issues, because some people want to have life support, some don't. And talking to a number of physicians that I know, one of the hardest things to deal with is once you come to the point where you either need life support or you don't need life support, and you get to the point where you no longer have breathing support. That is one of the toughest things, because a lot of times the patient will change their mind when they get to that point. Now, how do you deal with that issue?
Well, if you're talking about it from the standpoint of the selections that are in the five wishes, mm-hmm. there are three scenarios, and pretty much that encompasses any situation. Either you do want to be on life support, or you don't. Mm-hmm. And then the third gives more emphasis to what your physician recommends. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, I really think I don't want to be on life support, but, you know, they may change their mind at the last minute. So then that's when, if you think that that might be your situation, then you're probably going to want to put whatever your doctor wishes.
And if I'm sure that the children or a husband or wife would have some input on it, but if you've held this out yourself and you say, if you say something to one of the medical people at the point of death, and all of a sudden you decide I'm changing my mind, is there any point of contention there between the people who have signed on with you and they agree with that's probably going to be the right thing? The doctors are going to be open. I know how they're going to be. And their patient is their number one interest when it comes to that situation. And when they say, I want to be able to breathe, because that seems to be the big issue right there. It's very traumatic when you start having trouble getting oxygen into your body.
Well, basically, though, this document is for when you're at the point where you cannot make that decision. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're in the hospital and you can't breathe, you're still not going to be able to say, oh, I changed my mind, you know, I do want life support. Mm-hmm. So whatever you have chosen in this document, the person to make those healthcare decisions for you, then at that point, it's their decision.
Yeah, and I was reading here, that explains it pretty well inside your documents. That life support treatment means any medical procedure, device, or medication to keep me alive. Life support treatment includes medical devices put in me to help me breathe, food and water supplied by medical device tube feeding, and then cardiopulmonary resuscitation, major surgery, blood transfusions, dialysis, and antibiotics. So I have seen sometimes where I'm not too sure, because I've got a living will, and it's not with this one, but I've got it written out in a certain way, and I think everybody that fills out a living will at some times has a little bit of anticipation, have I done the right thing or not, because life is so precious, it really is. But one of the things, I really do love the way, because you've got things in here that address whether the patient is going to be taken care of or not, and they want as good a health care as they can get. I think everybody does.
Exactly.
And that's one of the things that you guys address. And is that part of the NHC tradition, is how they deal with patients? Is that some of the reason why this is the way it is?
It is. NHC, we treat the patient first. That is our first priority.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in giving them their rights and letting them make their own decisions, keeping them in their homes or in the facilities that they're in, that's one of our philosophies. We just want to, you know, be there for the patient and treat them the best we can.
Well, for example, NHC's motto is care is our business, mm-hmm. and their slogan is caring in a better way day by day. Dr. Carl Adams, who founded NHC in 1971,
mm-hmm.
he had a passion for the elderly and disabled, and he saw a need and he filled it, and that tradition has carried on through today.
Do you feel like that people who go to these type of facilities, do they have enough insurance for the health care that they're going to be looking at now? Because I know that's one of the big issues right now is health care costs and those type things. How do people deal with those particular problems?
Well, you know, a lot of people have adequate insurance coverage. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're fortunate enough to have a long-term care policy, then, you know, that pretty much takes care of the cost of being in a skilled nursing facility or an assisted living facility. But, you know, unfortunately, there are a lot of people that do not have those resources.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you have Medicaid, you know, there are some facilities that they won't accept Medicaid patients. So it just depends. You know, there are a lot of facilities out there, and that's one thing that NHC Home Care, I feel like, kind of sets us apart from some other home care agencies, because we can offer that full continuum of care. If we have a patient that we're taking care of in the home and we see that their condition has declined and they need that next level of care, then we can help transition them to that. And we have medical social workers that can help them, you know, get the assistance that they need that could maybe help pay for their care.
Now, when a person, there's one place inside the document that alludes to the fact that a patient wants to be home as long as possible, and you were addressing that somewhat. Who actually makes that decision as far as someone who has reached that particular time in their critical care that they need something really extra than what can be provided in the home? Who makes that decision?
It's kind of a joint decision between the physician, the patient's physician. If we're in there with home health discussing the specific needs that they need with the patient and their families, and it's kind of a joint decision made so that they can get better care and get the treatments that they need. With home health, we do as the most we can in the homes, but sometimes somebody gets to the point where perhaps they need to go to hospice or into a facility because they need more extensive therapies or something like that. We discuss that with them and, let the physicians know. So it's kind of a joint decision.
I remember a time when if a person became older and no longer able to take care of themselves properly, it was a family thing. Everybody would join together and take care of mom or dad or granddad or grandma or something like that. And it seems to be just that warm feeling that you get when you know that you're with family and everything's going to be taken care of. If it's just a peck on the cheek or whatever, or rub somebody's hair, to make them feel better. Do you guys think that the older people are getting that type of care like they used to? Are people just too darn busy to take care of their responsibilities?
Well, I think it's a mixture of things. I think with the way the world is today, a lot of people don't live in the same communities as their families anymore. Mm-hmm. They follow where their job takes them or things like that. And sometimes it's not intentional. They just, they have to support their own individual families and things. So I think with home care, people rely on us a lot more because there are some individuals out there that can just use that additional help. A couple therapists coming into the homes and, getting them more mobile around their homes and more independent. And the family members then appreciate that. And the communication is there between the home health and the family members and the patients if, need be. And I think it's a relief for the family that is out of town, and knowing that someone is checking up on their family member, looking into, and sometimes we are the only one that goes to see that patient that day, So we encourage our staff to be, always have a smile on their face and, make that patient at that time is the most important person right at that time that the therapist or the nurse is in the home. So we try and do that on our end so that the families are comfortable and the patients feel like they have somebody that cares about them.
And we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with you.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
The new Powerball is being described as bigger, better, more. but we wanted to be crystal clear on what bigger meant. So we asked a lottery spokesperson to clarify bigger for us.
The jackpots now start at 40 million and grow quicker than ever.
And that's bigger than before?
Yes, it's actually twice as big.
Which makes it twice as fun. Play the new Powerball today. Bigger jackpots, better odds, more millionaires, just $2. Tennessee Lottery, game-changing fun.
So what does it take to tame Tennessee's $3 million megatraction?
Well, I crack the whip, and Hugo here runs in and scratches the $3 million mega cash ticket.
I scratch the ticket.
Yes, he scratches.
Only Hugo scratches.
I scratch.
Hugo usually scratches, but anyone can scratch.
$3 million top prize. 10 prizes of $1 million or more. The most exciting megatraction in Tennessee is ready to be tamed. Play the new $3 million mega cash instant game today. Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, AmeriCare Pest Control, and the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS.
Hello, I'm Dave Gober with First Community Mortgage.
And Dean Higby with South Branch Nursery.
Be sure to tune in every Saturday from 11:30 to 12:30 for the Rutherford Home Show, presented by Old South Properties.
We are joined each week by local professionals to give helpful information about your home and the local community.
We also give you local real estate stats and rate information.
Join us here on WGNS for the Rutherford Home Show every Saturday, 11:30 to 12:30.
Works by the Murfreesboro Art League are on display in the rotunda of the Murfreesboro City Hall now through May the 6th. Now, the 15th annual Bible Reading Marathon will be here in town starting Sunday afternoon, April the 29th, and continuing 24/7 all the way up to the National Day of Prayer. That's at noon on Thursday, May the 3rd. This year it's over at the Bible Pathways Ministries at 810 West Thompson Lane. If you have any questions or would like to be a part of this, call Karen Hawkins, 896-4243. And the March of Dimes for Babies is scheduled for Sunday afternoon, May the 6th. Circle this on your calendar. Registration's at 1 o'clock over at the DePaul Medical Office Building, right there at the Middle Tennessee Medical Center campus, Sunday, May 6th. The two-mile walk begins at 2 o'clock. And when you walk, you give hope to the more than 500,000 babies born too soon each year. My granddaughter was born at 24 weeks. And thanks to the research at the March of Dimes, she's a little over 1 year old and doing great. Let's get behind the March of Dimes for Babies Walk on Sunday, May 6th at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. And those are Good Neighbor Events.
In the Murfreesboro City Council election, the Murfreesboro Firefighters Association is proud to endorse incumbent Councilman Toby Gilley and challengers Bill Jakes and Eddie Smotherman. We also ask your support in our efforts to improve our radio system for first responder safety and to ensure planned construction of a fire training facility in Murfreesboro. Please vote for candidates Gilley, Jakes, and Smotherman for City Council. Early voting March 28 to April 12th, Election Day, April 17th.
Paid for by Murfreesboro Firefighters Association, Local Number 3035.
The local conversation continues now on The Truman Show. Once again, here's Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Pat Limbaugh and Kathy Harries. And you guys, do you ever have personal contact with these people when you mail these? Are these, do people call in and ask for these documents? Do they explain what they want as far as what the documents cover? Or how do you deal with that when you actually mail these documents to them or have them sent to them?
We've done a little bit of both. When we held it last year, I did go out to a person's home, mm-hmm. and she was bringing a family member to her home, mm-hmm. from out of state, and she just wanted some explanation. So we sat and we went through the whole document together. I explained it to her a little bit more. It made her feel more comfortable that she had something in writing to share with her father, mm-hmm. and they were able to fill it out, talk to the doctor, and it was all taken care of. Other people have just called in and asked for them to be mailed to them, and they've discussed it with their families themselves. And then another instance was somebody called in, just ask a few questions on it, and we just read the book over the phone together. So we are available to either come to you and go over the booklet with you or answer any questions that you have.
Now, notice you have a number of locations across the state of Tennessee. How do you get your word out? Is that through interviews like we're having today, or advertisements, or do they have some other type of locations where they get to know what's going on with the Five Wishes?
Well, typically, like I said, every year on April the 16th is when we acknowledge National Healthcare Decisions Day. So each one of our 19 Tennessee locations, they plan on having something in their community. Mm-hmm. We do a newsletter, and that was on the front page of our newsletter. So each office has their own newsletter that's distributed in the community, and it tells about the Five Wishes and the number to call to schedule, you know, either have someone come to your home or if they're planning an event like what we're going to be doing on Monday. So that's kind of how we get the word out.
Now, let's mention Monday again. Exactly what are you going to be doing on Monday, and okay, where is it going to be?
It's going to be at 10 a.m. Monday morning at the St. Clair Senior Center here mm-hmm. in Murfreesboro, and we'll be doing a seminar. We'll have the booklets with us, and we'll just go through it, you know, page by page. It's a 12-page document. Probably within 30 minutes we'll have that finished, but we'll be able to leave the document with anybody that's interested in signing one and answer any questions that they may have.
Now, it covers so many things, and one of the interesting ones is you would think that would be automatic, the things that we grew up with. My wish for how I want people to treat me. That's interesting. I mean, you would think that in this day and time, or even when I was growing up, that was an automatic. It seems almost kind of harsh that they have to ask for that treatment. It's so odd to me. Like, I wish to have people with me when possible. I want somebody to be with me when it seems that death may be coming at any time. I wish to have others by my side praying for me when possible. How do you reach out to on that one on wish four? Because that's a personal thing between them and their families and their friends. And are healthcare people actually involved in this particular part?
I think this is really probably when hospice comes in. Mm-hmm. You know, hospice is for people that have been given 6 months or less mm-hmm. to live. And most of these wishes, I think, are hospice-driven. But you know, a lot of times you may have family members that, you know, some people are much more affectionate than other people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they may not really feel comfortable holding mama's hand. But if they've gone through this document and read this and they realize that's something that was important to her, that she wants her hand held, then they want to honor her wishes.
How could anybody not feel comfortable holding their mama's hand?
Well, sometimes people just get wrapped up in their own lives, and it's not intentional. But reading this and going over it with your family member, it's sometimes a light bulb goes on, and it's like, oh, yeah. So a lot of us get so involved in our everyday activities and, you know, running your children and things like that, that seeing it in writing and discussing it, it's just a reminder. It's a nice reminder that it's very important.
And wish three, my wish for how comfortable I want to be. I can read some of these. If I show signs of depression, nausea, shortness of breath, or hallucinations, I want my caregivers to do whatever they can to help me. And I go back again, and you were talking about hospice, which they do a tremendous job. I mean, if you're at that point where you no longer can take care, and your life has become short, those people are just unreal. I know they came in and took care of my mom.
They did,
and of course
too.
We were there just about the whole time, and then. We of course, like you were saying earlier, we had to hire someone, but it was in the family to be there when our jobs were taking us away. But that's something that it's really precious for everybody that to be close to people that you love during that particular time, because I have been blessed to be there a number of times, not only with my family but also with my friends, and that's something that you never forget, because like I said earlier, life is precious. But the things that you put down here, are these things that you get from hospice and medical providers, or is this something, like you said earlier, you had a lot of input from watching Mother Teresa and others in that field who are caring for individuals who are going through particularly hard times?
I think probably the founder of Five Wishes, since he did spend a lot of time with Mother Teresa, saw a lot of death and was able to see the things that are important. I mean, you may not realize that just having your lips and mouth kept moist, mm-hmm. is important, or to have a cool, moist cloth put on your head if you have a fever. Mm-hmm. Just things that, as healthcare professionals, we would know to do. But if you're not a healthcare professional, just being able to read through these and know that's something that your loved one requested to help make them comfortable.
You touched so many things here, and they're also extremely personable. And like I said earlier, there's things that most of us think are automatic. I wish to have my family and friends know that I love them. I mean, that's something that you communicate yourself back and forth to each other. And I wish to be forgiven for the times I have hurt my family, friends, and others. I think everybody has that regret from sometimes. We're human, and we do things that we shouldn't. Is this also kind of a way to soothe you're getting ready to part from your friends and from your family. Is this the way to let them know that you're leaving and you've had a great relationship with them? They've been super to you, and you're always going to be remembered. Is this something both for the patient and for the families? It seems like it touches both sides.
I think so. Just for example, the question that's, or the statement that says, I wish to have my family and friends know that I love them. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, I hear a lot of women say that, my dad never even told me that he loved me. I knew he loved me, mm-hmm. but he never expressed that. Mm-hmm. And this is a way that, he could express that, and that's comforting to the family.
You could take this, if you're going to do an eulogy for someone at their funeral, you could almost go through this if they signed off on it and mention some of these things, and it would be a way to console the family and friends during your eulogy, and even mention the fact that they did mention that they wanted you to know some of these special things that they have gone through.
Yes, I think that's a good example. Another one on wish number 5 is, I wish my family and friends and caregivers to respect my wishes even if they don't agree with them. And that's really important too, for everyone to know that maybe not putting you on life support, some of the family members don't agree with that, but if it's in writing and the person themselves did have that signed, then they were okay with it, and it was something that siblings don't have to fight over or be upset with each other over, because they know mom or dad wanted that, and that was their decision.
Yeah, that's a really hard time for a family when it comes time to make those type of decisions, and it can be a time when you're pulling each other apart, especially if your brothers or sisters or maybe even having children get involved in it with a wife or the husband or somebody like that. I have seen so many times during those particular periods, and even after death, where they would still, it would just split families apart. And it's important for people to start planning for those type of situations that are going to come up. There's nothing you can do about it. Is the planning process, does that go beyond the health care when you're doing the five wishes, as far as maybe planning for things as far as what they want after death?
It does, because there's the financial issues that, mm-hmm. you know, they would have to plan for and things like that. And it just, it puts that person at a peace where they, when they do go, they're not going thinking that their families are going to be fighting over different issues and different concerns and medical problems. Mm-hmm. And the more you can have handled and taken care of and discussed with your families when you're able to do that, the better off you are. And the more at peace you are with yourself, knowing that you're not leaving a mess for everyone else.
Does Five Wishes or NHC, do they offer programs on what the special needs are going to be for a person once the individual has died and all these problems start coming in? I mean, you start having to deal with, I know most people my age have been through this before, where you have to take care of all the insurance problems that you're going to come up with. All the bills are going to come flying in from all the health care places, the doctors and everybody like that. And they're already traumatized because they've just lost a loved one. Is there anywhere that people can go to get information on how to basically take care of those? And I've thrown you a curveball, haven't I?
Yeah, you can tell we're looking at each other like, do you know the answer to that?
Oh, we're going to take a quick break anyway, and we'll be right back with you.
Hi, I'm Don Patterson, an internal medicine physician with Middle Tennessee Medical Group, a new multi-specialty office dedicated to the health and well-being of you and your family. Our physicians provide expertise in family and internal medicine, as well as other specialties. Middle Tennessee Medical Group offers two locations in Murfreesboro for your convenience. To make an appointment with a Middle Tennessee Medical Group physician, call 396-6800 or visit middletnmedicalgroup.com.
Do you have unfinished projects at your house? Perhaps your house is busting at the seams, but you're not ready to move yet. Or maybe you're ready to move, but don't know where to start. No matter what your situation is, we've got your solution. The Rutherford County Home Builders Association Home and Remodeling Show is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, April 20th through 22nd at the Lane Agripark on John R. Rice Boulevard. There will be companies representing every aspect of building, remodeling, or sprucing up your home. Again, that's April 20th, 21st, and 22nd at the Lane Agripark on John R. Rice Boulevard. For more details, contact the RCHBA office at 890-8224.
Middle Tennessee Christian School is holding a spring fling event on April the 14th, and you're invited to participate. The day will start with a 5K run to benefit the Patrons Organization, Special Kids, and the Journey Home. The MTCS 5K will start at 7 with a fun walk to begin at 8. Later in the afternoon on the 14th, there will be a shopping bazaar at 3 and a spaghetti dinner at 4. MTCS will hold a special trivia contest on the evening of April the 14th at 7. Everyone is invited to attend the MTCS Spring Fling on April the 14th.
This is Councilman Ron Washington, and I'm asking for your vote April 17th. I have proven my commitment to this community through volunteerism, service, and your trust. Serving a community is not just local involvement, it's regional and national. Experience matters. Vote Ron Washington, City Council. Early voting is March 28th through April the 12th. Election day is April 17th. I am Ron Washington, and I approve this message.
Now more of The Truman Show with Truman Jones on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with us. This has been a very informative show, and I have learned a lot here. And we want to let you know that we're going to have a new sponsor, and it is Gordon Ralston Photography. And that's Al Gordon and Larry Ralston. And they do such a great job. I mean, they're certified craftsmen, and both are hometown guys. And I have known most of them, just about my entire life. And they do everything. They do weddings and high school photos, family portraits, They even travel outside the state. If you want to go to Tahiti, they'll go with you. I mean, they're so accommodating and so nice, and you can't beat them. There's not a better photography shop anywhere in the state of Tennessee, and they're so nice. I just want to let you know that. We have covered some of this, and I'm not too sure if we can even come close to touching all of it, but it's pretty simple as far as the process is. Now, say if somebody would like to have a copy, and maybe they can't make it over to your seminar that you're going to have at the Senior Citizens Club, how would they be able to obtain this and be able to utilize it? Because I think most, even with a little help or maybe no help at all, most people could probably fill this out themselves. But like you said earlier, they would almost need a family member with them so they could go over some of the things and the process of it. Now, how are they able to obtain the documents?
They can call the Murfreesboro Home Care Office, and that number is 615-896-2300, and just ask for a copy to be sent to them, or they would like someone to come out and discuss it with them and explain it to them, and we would be glad to do that.
So you have the people that they're in place, that they could come out. Do you have enough people that they could come in a timely way, or is there much of a waiting period before they can actually...
No, there would not be. We could go out within a couple days, or sometimes maybe that day. If not that day, within a couple days, we can go out and discuss it with them.
Is that one of the things? It sounds like an enjoyable thing. You've been out to some of the homes.
I have. It is very interesting. Just discussing and listening to other people and trying to help and just give some ideas and seeing people's light bulb go on and you know, things that people don't think about. It's nice to educate people in that way and give them that information.
Have you found that a lot of people really don't plan for the type of situations that they're going to be facing because it's not a very pleasant thought?
Yes, unfortunately that does happen. It's always, I'll do it tomorrow or the next day, or I'll look at it later, and later never comes. So it is something that you should really think about, discuss with your families, and get taken care of. And it is a nice thing to have in your head that it's taken care of and a nice piece.
When you start talking about some of these things that are in the pamphlet that you've got here, is it something that they feel comfortable discussing with you as a rule, as far as some of their questions some of the things that they would like to have, or do they actually want to discuss those with you, or is it too private?
Actually, I have found that they would rather discuss it with me than to family members.
Oh, really?
Sometimes they ask, how should I tell them this? How should I tell them I don't want life support? How should I, you know, I know they love me and they want me here forever, but I don't want to be laying there like not knowing what I'm doing. You know, different questions like that. So I have found personally that they open to me more than I think they would open to their family with some of their questions.
I was sitting here thinking while you're talking about that, and isn't it funny? It's just like we almost revert to how we were when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because we feel more comfortable sometimes talking to our teacher or somebody like that rather than talking to mom or dad or somebody at home. Because when you get that personal, even though the people that you should be able to relate to a lot better, sometimes that's harder to do.
It is, because you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And really, a stranger, you're actually telling them what you want. You care what they think, but it's not going to affect them. So it's a lot easier in that aspect.
Have you ever kind of been taken aback a little bit by some of the things that they ask you, something that may be a little bit unusual or that you wouldn't be expecting?
Yes, there has been some times.
Is any of that you want to share with us?
Just different comments on how do I do this without this person and this family member knowing it,
mm-hmm.
Until after I'm gone, and then they find out that I have this form, you know, things like that. But it's just basically they're trying to save the face-to-face encounter with their family member, mm-hmm. you know. But I try and explain to them that it's really, it would be better for everybody to be on the same page and to know what you want and what your desires are.
You find most people want to not be on life support. I know a lot of people have that thing, and I have it. I don't want to be taken care of. I don't want anybody to have to take care of me. That is my only fear in life. Is somebody having to take care of me. And I don't think I'm alone in that. And once they make that decision, is that one of the conflicts that they seem to have with their family members or friends or whatever, that they just want to go on and...
people don't like to be a burden. They don't want
exactly.
to be a burden on their family, their friends. They have been independent their whole life, and they just feel like if they can't do it themselves, it's really hard to ask for that assistance. So it is a hard thing to do.
It's a lot easier to be a caregiver than have somebody else taking care of you.
Exactly. Yes. It is.
Have you noticed that a lot of them do not want to give up their privacy and things like that? I think that's one of the reasons that a lot of people do not like to be in a health care facility, a hospital, or whatever, is that you do lose that. And when you're talking to somebody, and of course I know you work at BNHC, and that's a great place. It really is.
It is.
I mean, if you got to be locked up, I mean, sorry, if you got to be in a hospital somewhere. Is that addressed, and I didn't have a chance to look at all of it, but is any of that addressed in there as far as the personal feelings of the individual, as far as what they may want or what they actually feel about it? Are their thoughts actually in there?
Well, they may not be documented in here, but there are several blank spaces where mm-hmm. they encourage you to add anything, any of your wishes that are not already in here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they could do that.
Well, we're at the very end of the show, which I know y'all are upset about this. I mean, you were just tickled to be on here today.
We're very thrilled to be on here.
Pat, Kathy, have you anything to say to anybody? You can say hi to your husbands, your children, somebody at NHC, or whatever. You have the stage.
Well, basically, I just want to encourage everybody to try to come to the seminar, mm-hmm. if possible. Only about 20-30% of Americans actually have an advance directive,
wow.
and it's very important that we get everybody on board with this. And it's legal in 42 states,
mm-hmm.
and Tennessee is one of those states, so nothing to worry about in that respect.
And it's no exceptions as far as age is concerned.
18 years
18
of age
and over.
Correct.
And you have to be 18 to be legal, right, to make your decision. You're
right.
Considered as an adult. So it's nothing. It's not just pertaining to people who have reached an advanced age.
Correct.
It's for everybody.
It's for anybody who just wants the knowledge, the information, to know, to look into their future or their family's future, a family member's future.
That's pretty neat. I think you have a great service here, and I want to commend you for getting into this business, because, you know, life is so precious, like I said earlier, and it doesn't matter where you're 18 years of age or 90 years of age. What do they always say? Inside an 80-year-old man is a 17-year-old boy. That's the truth. They never grow up. Well, at least men don't. I don't know about the girls. We'll see you guys Monday at 2 o'clock.
Thank you.
Thank you.